In Cuba, 75 of the country's leading dissidents have spent the last 4 months in prison. They've been sentenced to terms ranging from 6 years to life for having allegedly colluded with the U.S. government. Cubans who've dared question their country's economic and political system were alarmed by the roundup last March. But just as unsettling was the discovery that some apparent dissidents were actually undercover agents of the Cuban State Security Service. NPR's Tom Jelton spoke with two of those agents and reports now on their double life.
The Cuban dissidents now in prison are said to be counter-revolutionaries, but they were committed to peaceful change, and when they challenged Fidel Castro's government, it was from within the country, not from a comfortable exile position in Miami. Some Cuban Americans even criticized the dissidents for their willingness to maintain contact with many people inside the Cuban government. One of the dissidents, Raul Rivero, a poet and a founder of the independent journalists movement in Cuba, told NPR in an interview 3 years ago that Miami-based Cubans don't understand the predicament in which many government workers find themselves.
Yo tengo más información que ellos de las verdaderas opiniones de estas personas.
I know more than they do about the true feelings of people here, Rivero said. If people go on television and say one thing and then go home and say something else, I'm not going to criticize them. Rivero was one of those arrested in March and then convicted of having acted against the independence of the Cuban state. The prosecution of the dissidents was aided by the testimony of a dozen secret police agents who for years had posed as dissidents themselves. Among them, Odilia Collazo, who had long been one of Cuba's leading human rights activists. She testified that she and her dissident colleagues had been directed by U.S. diplomats in Havana. And yet, having spent many years working so closely with them, she clearly feels awkward about having helped send her former friends to prison. About Raul Rivero, Collazo can't bring herself to say one bad word.
Raul Rivero lo admiro, lo quiero. Una persona maravillosa.
I admire Raul Rivero. I love him. He's a wonderful person, a person with a good heart. He gave what he had to support a cause. When he won money from some journalism awards, he always shared it with all the people working with him.
That Collazo, a.k.a. Secret Agent Tanya, might remain personally attached to a dissident like Raul Rivero is a hint of what it's like to be an informer in Cuba. Many people in Cuba speak of having a doble cara, literally of being two-faced, with a public one and a private one. But for these undercover agents, the double life was much more complicated. Their work as dissidents and independent journalists was to expose the flaws of the system. As president of the pro-human rights party in Cuba, Odilia Collazo knew as well as anyone the reality of repression in the country. And though she was working all along for the Cuban State Security Service, she does not take back what she told the world about Cuba.
Yo todos los años era quien hacía los informes para el Departamento de Estado, el informe más completo.
Every year I made a human rights report for the State Department. It was the most complete report of human rights violations that was prepared in this country. I wouldn't include any allegation that was not serious. I took out all the lies. Anyone who came here with that report would know that what they had in their hands was the truth.
So, knowing firsthand of the human rights abuses here, how can Odilia Collazo now align herself with the very government responsible for that human rights record? There are human rights violations in every country, she says. The Cuban government last weekend made Odilia Collazo and other informers available for interviews at a hotel in the eastern city of Santiago, where they were marking the 50th anniversary of an uprising that started the Cuban Revolution. Now 52 years old, Collazo says she was recruited to inform on the pro-human rights party back in 1988 because she ran a grocery store around the corner from the party headquarters in Havana. Now that she's out in the open, she's obviously cut all her ties with the friends and colleagues on whom she reported, though she describes the rupture in fairly gentle terms.
Nunca tuvimos ninguna diferencia, mantuvimos buenas relaciones.
We never had any disagreements. We had a good relationship. The only thing was, they were on one side and I was on the other. The ideas they had and the work they were doing belonged to a completely different world.
Odilia Collazo, in the end, was with the government. Her colleagues were not. The facts of what they all reported are not in dispute. Only their loyalties divided them. Manuel David Orio, another of the police agents, worked for the past 10 years as an independent journalist, filing mainly for the internet. His stories focused on the failures of the Cuban economic system. Interestingly enough, he says he'd like to continue with his journalism career even now that he's been exposed as a secret police agent. He even says he would continue his critical coverage.
Lo que yo tendría que cambiar para hacer periodismo ahora quizás serían algunas cuestiones de lenguaje.
Mainly, what I would have to change to be a journalist here from now on would be the language. But I was writing about real problems in Cuban society. I wrote about problems with Cuban agriculture. For example, I predicted all the problems with the Cuban sugar industry.
But at the same time, Orio was informing on his journalist colleagues who were reporting similar stories. The problem with his colleagues' work, Orio now argues, was not so much what they wrote in their stories, but whom they wrote the stories for.
Era periodismo para el gobierno de los Estados Unidos a la larga.
It was journalism that in the long run served the interest of the United States. To publish a story in media that are supported by that foreign government is not the same as publishing that very same story in another newspaper in another context.
But is that a crime for which journalists should be thrown in jail, as Raúl Rivero has been, or Oscar Espinosa Chepe, a former government economist who took to writing independent critiques of government policy? Manuel David Orio and Odilia Collazo both testified against Espinosa. His wife, Miriam Leiva, a former diplomat in Cuba's foreign ministry, says from her home in Havana that no political rationalization can explain why Cubans such as Orio or Collazo were willing to betray her husband.
These people, they know that if now they talk for the Cuban government, they're going to have a good post, they're going to have free vacations, they're going to have good scholarships for their children. And I ask the Cuban government if it can trust these people, because I'm certain that any time they could be also double-crossed by these people.
All double agents, no matter the governments for whom they work, have difficult lives. On her red T-shirt, Odilia Collazo now proudly wears two medals given her for her work as an undercover agent. At the same time, she apparently can't stop thinking about Raúl Rivero. She says she wrote Fidel Castro himself asking that Rivero be put in a cell where he could see outside. If he were in an ordinary cell where he could not contemplate nature, she says, he would die because he's a poet. Rivero, 57, was sentenced in April to 20 years in prison. Tom Gelton, NPR News.